Well, hello, everyone. I'm Jill Bloom, publisher of Roofing Contractor and Walls and Ceilings, and thank you for joining us, whether you are watching or listening. Learning how to run a better business is something that Trent Cotney, the CEO of Cotney Attorneys and Consultants, is very passionate about. And I'm here today with Art Eisner, the editor of Roofing Contractor, to talk with Trent this week and give you some nuggets of great information that will definitely help contractors right now. So Trent, thank you so much for joining us.
Jill, Art, always a pleasure. I really look forward to this opportunity to talk to you guys and listeners. And I know we've got some great questions lined up today.
Well, we do. And I, you know, Trent, this one we've all been watching in horror this week, just seeing the devastation of that condominium collapse down in Miami, Florida. And there's so many questions that need to be answered. And that's not what I want to ask you about or what happened. But what I do want you to talk about is, from a safety perspective, you know, what do contractors need to look for? What would you say to roofers working on buildings right now that might be similar?
So, Jill, first and foremost, you know, our prayers go out to all the people that were affected by that Surfside tragedy. You know, we obviously know a lot of people in South Florida. We work down there. We represent a lot of contractors in that area. And it is a tough issue for me to watch, you know, professionally and personally, to see that. But one of the things that I think that contractors should be very mindful of is that, especially when you are working on, you know, condo type projects or high rises, that there is some increased liability. So what I would recommend to anybody listening to this is to come up with an SOP to talk with an owner. Okay. And this anticipates that you're in the prime position and the owner has hired you directly. And what I would do is I would ask them a series of questions, which includes things like, are you aware of any structural problems? Are you aware of any corrosion issues? Do you have any waterproofing issues? Things of that nature. And if things are identified on that and you want to do that in writing, okay, then you can adjust your safety plan based on that. But you can also potentially carve out a release in your contract documents that could protect you from some liability as it relates to this. Something else I want to mention to our listeners, Jill, is be very, very careful about any scope of work that includes waterproofing on a balcony or pool deck. Okay. I have been involved in multi-million dollar litigation involving both of those items. Okay. It is a very highly litigious area. It is very easy to potentially have issues there that may have nothing to do with your workmanship, but you end up getting dragged in. So if you do decide to work on those projects, I would highly recommend that there is a waterproofing consultant specific for that type of project, in addition to whatever architect that you've got there, that you can follow to the T, because it is a higher risk type level of work.
Yeah, there's no doubt. And I know that every contractor is going to have a list of new questions that they will be asking, just so they can keep everybody safe, because we all know that's what we are all about, is keeping people safe.
Right.
Anyway, but Art, on to you.
Thanks, Jill. Trent, great advice. Also, making news in the last week, there's been some progress on Capitol Hill with the Biden administration's infrastructure plan. What's your take on that? Are you optimistic?
So, you know, it's interesting, Art. And, you know, obviously we're involved on the national level. You know, Craig Breyer does a great job for us and keeping us informed and making sure that we're meeting and talking to the right people. And I've been asking him constantly about this infrastructure bill, because it is something that I think will impact the industry. And it's very interesting because of the material shortage issue and the skilled labor issue and everything else, you know, how this infrastructure deal will play out. So the issue that I am seeing now and sort of what's been relayed to us is that there is a significant amount of sort of back and forth. And the problem with a lot of Biden's infrastructure bill as it was originally produced was he had this very broad definition of what infrastructure is, okay? A broader than I think I can recall, right? So things that normally you wouldn't include in infrastructure, he is included in this. And there's been a lot of back and forth between him, you know, Speaker Pelosi, Senate Majority Leader Schumer, back and forth over what's going to happen. At this point, I anticipate that this back and forth will probably drag on through the fall. Okay. So I don't anticipate that there's going to be any quick resolution to this. I think it's still going to happen. I think it's desperately needed. The problem is if I had to say it, I think the Biden administration sort of went for the moon and the stars, and they probably should have been a little bit more realistic in what they were presenting to help, you know, the dialogue, which I think is kind of slowing things up.
We mentioned some key factors specific to contractors that are important. Really, when it comes down to it, even if those funds are approved, can contractors really begin counting on those jobs, given the reality of the material shortage, and start making promises about you know, being able to complete some of this work in that time frame?
You know, Art, I don't think so. I think if I'm a contractor right now, especially a roofing contractor, what I want to do is circle the wagons, you know, dig those trenches, and work with the backlog that I've got, work with the customers that I've got, try to find the materials, try to maintain the labor force that I've got, do everything like that before I start really looking to expand. And the reason I say that is there's so much volatility and uncertainty out there. I believe, honestly, you know, Jill and Art, that we have not seen the pinnacle of the material shortages issue. I don't think we will see it until, you know, fall is when I think we're going to see the real ramifications of it after the storms have started hitting. So my advice would be, I think it's going to be great. I think there will be some opportunity. I think that opportunity will play out for years. So it's nothing that that you necessarily have to, you know, you lose it if you don't get on it in the first month. But my advice to contractors is focus on keeping your crews busy now. Focus on getting materials. Do what you can to maintain where you're at, because it's going to be an interesting ride for the next few months.
Sticking to workers, there was also some, at least a renewed effort, particularly by the NRCA with their action alert, letting contractors know about H-2B returning worker visas. What do contractors need to know?
So this is really interesting, and it's got, like every act that's out there, it's got a flashy name. It's the H-2B Returning Worker Exception Act of 2021. What that is they're trying to get past sort of the onerous provisions within H-2B. And for our listeners, you know, H-2B is a great way where you can potentially get workers to come in from other countries to assist you in roofing work. It's also used for farming and the restaurant industry and other areas. But the problem is it's usually capped based on how many people you can get in, okay? And they've done some additions there. They recently added another 16,000 to it, but it's just so little that it doesn't really make an impact. The other problem with it is that it's so cumbersome, an application process, that it really requires stick-to-itness to even go through it. So what this act is designed to do is to help eliminate some of those limits, make it easier to apply. Obviously, we're supporting it, NRCA is supporting it, and I think it's a great thing for the industry if it gets passed.
Any projections on a timeline? Is this something that could provide some relief this year?
So the bill was originally submitted in the House. It was House Bill 3897, and I know it's kind of working its way through various committees and heading up the flagpole there. So if I had to guess, I would think we would hear something on this probably in the fall. You know, I think there's going to be some additional wrangling. You know, could be sooner than that, but that's kind of my guess right now.
Okay, so more, look forward to more coverage on that. We've also recently seen an uptick in OSHA enforcement. We talked about it in Kansas, Colorado, now New York. You did say this was coming. What's your message to contractors, and are there some other upcoming hotspots that are on your radar?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, we've been gearing up since last year when we knew the Biden administration was taking over. We knew there was going to be more inspections, more rulemaking. It will take time for, you know, the rank and file to get the new marching orders. So we've been preparing for a while. And one of the things that that we are seeing an uptick in is general duty, general safety type violations. There's a general duty clause within OSHA that is sort of a catch-all that says that you have to keep your employees away from recognized hazards, right? You got to keep them safe from those types of hazards. And we are seeing, we're definitely seeing in a lot of the citations that have been coming out recently, more and more general duty clause citations. Part of the reason is it's pretty easy to cite someone for a repeat violation of that same citation because it's such a big net, okay? We also saw a lot of COVID-19 violations fall within that general duty clause. So what's interesting is if I'm looking across the U.S., Kentucky had a huge influx of OSHA citations. I saw a stat recently, I think it said 45% increase in 2020. We are still continuing to see an uptick there. I can tell you that we've added on two more lawyers in our OSHA defense practice group, if that gives you any. The calls are coming in daily. The inspections are happening. And one piece of advice for our listeners, okay, and I'm a big believer in always being civil, respectful, and cooperative with any government agency. But one thing that I would really advise is when OSHA comes out to your job site, you want to make sure that you have a conversation with them about why they're there, okay? And you want to, if you tell them, for example, that you haven't been on that site, you don't know what the safety looks like, okay, that's going to open them up to a much broader range of potential inspection. Okay, if they're out there because they saw four people on a roof without fall protection on and you're familiar with the situation, then that kind of limits the scope. It puts them in a box, okay? And what you don't want to do is you want to make sure that you're controlling that job site. So you don't want to give them free rein to walk all over the place and cite you for potentially other things. You want to have them focused on whatever that issue is. Now, obviously, if it's a fatality, they can do a wall-to-wall investigation. There's exceptions. But I'm a big believer in setting the stage, being civil, always being civil and respectful, but know your rights. I think that's critical.
Well, Trent, sounds like something you may have picked up from adding Kevin Yarborough to the Cotney team. That's something we reported on. Tell us about that. And, you know, I thought you guys already knew everything about OSHA.
Kevin's a superstar, man. And I've known, I met Kevin a long, long time ago when we were on opposite sides of the table. So Kevin Yarborough was an assistant area director for OSHA. He worked for OSHA for 23 years. He's been in safety for 35 plus years. But, you know, best of success speaker. So he is well known in the industry. He and I always worked well together because he was truly concerned about safety. And he recognized when there were valid points, right? And we worked very well with each other. There was a mutual respect there. He went out and started doing some consulting on his own for the last few years. And we had some conversations recently and said, this is a great opportunity. The time's right. Let's figure out a way where we can work together. So first thing I did is had him come in here. This is our training center here. I had him, you know, come in and talk to all of our attorneys. Tell me what the real world looks like. You know, what is OSHA thinking when I'm sitting across from their table, right? That is invaluable. Because, you know, I've heard him speak probably half a dozen times now, maybe more. And every time I hear him talk, there's always a little nugget there about what's really going on in the process. That makes us better lawyers, right? Because we understand what they're thinking and how to move through that. And then also, he's helping us provide safety, you know, training and consulting for our clients as well. So blessing to have him on. He is a great guy. He really is. You know, besides being incredibly thorough and professional, he is just a great guy to have around.
A great resource for the contractors you're working with, no doubt. Jill, I'm going to hand it back to you.
Yeah, thank you, Art. And Trent, there is no doubt. When I saw that Kevin Yarborough came on board with you guys, with Cotney Attorneys and Consultants, I like did a happy dance because if anybody that's been to Best of Success and has heard him speak, I mean, I never thought I would be telling people like, wait till you hear Kevin speak. He's from OSHA and you're going to love him. And they're like, love him. How can I love anybody from OSHA? And then they hear him speak and they understand the insight. So kudos to you on that one, Trent. And I love to have the opportunity to always talk about what's happening internally at Cotney, because there's no doubt you are so passionate about the roofing industry and contractors in general and helping them to make sure that they are just doing everything they can to run their business correctly. And I have to say, I had a roofing contractor that had to stop by my house yesterday, and I was telling him about reminding him, I should say, about your subscription plan. And he had no idea. Can you tell, this is so important, can you make sure everybody understands what your subscription plan is? Because I think it's just a great way for contractors to save money and not be afraid of their attorney.
Yeah, that's right, Jill. And you know, thank you for bringing that up. You know, I worked at big firms for the majority of my career, for the first 15 years, and then set out to set this company up 10 years ago. And the reason I set it up was I wanted to change the dynamic between lawyers and contractors. You know, it's like you said, everybody hates lawyers, right? And I didn't want to be that guy. I wanted people to call me whenever they had a question, and I wanted to be proactive rather than reactive. So the idea behind the subscription plan, it's a set price every single month. You get unlimited services depending on what SKU you're in. And on average, you save 53% off of billable hours, right? So you don't have to worry. Anybody in your office can call us at any time for any reason. Like your project manager's got a question, you don't have to run out the flagpole, right? OSHA comes out to your superintendent on your job site. He didn't have to wait to get legal involved. He can call us directly and we can solve the problems before they happen. It's just a better way to do business. I don't want, and this sounds counterintuitive for a lawyer to say, I don't want our contractors to ever get sued. I don't want them to get sued. And the idea behind the plan is their success is our success. That's how I view it. And it's been a real blessing for us. You know, it's been very popular, and I think it's a great tool for contractors out there.
Oh, absolutely. Well, it's a genius plan that you came up with, and I'm excited to help spread the word anytime I have the opportunity, because yes, we've all had those moments where like, oh, I can't call the attorney. It's like way too much. So anyway, thank you again, Trent, so much for your time today. Thank you for all those insights and those great nuggets. Thank you to everybody who's watching. If you have any questions for Trent, you can find them at cotneycl.com. If you have any questions for us, you can reach us at roofingcontractor.com, wconline.com. And while you are there, make sure you sign up for our free e-newsletters. Check out the new platform for our digital e-magazine. And it's free to register for our website so you can see all the content and get all kinds of other great nuggets for your business. And stay safe and healthy. We look forward to seeing you next time.